Good morning and welcome to each one of you. So glad you are here as we gather in God's presence. We gather together. We gather to listen to God. We gather to encourage each other. We gather to worship. This summer we've been on a series of messages related to worship. We've talked about how we could divide worship into thanksgiving, where we're recognizing and affirming all of God's goodness to us, and we can think about praising God, where we're recognizing, affirming, and giving voice to all of God's greatness, His characteristics, His qualities. And thirdly, we're looking at how we worship God, which is a recognition and an affirmation of God's holiness. We looked a little while ago about the word worship in the Old Testament usually is the word for laying out before God. It's a body response as we bow before our God, our Creator. But then we saw last week in our New Testament, in the middle of our New Testament, that word for bowing down before God isn't there. It's in the Gospels, and it's in the book of Revelation. In both cases, Jesus is present. But while Jesus is in heaven, the worship words become internal responses. But today is a caution to us. Today we're looking at a text from the book of Romans where we're called to worship. Not just externally, not just internally, but with everything we've got. Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we ask for your help this morning as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth, with body, soul, and spirit, with everything we've got. We want to be worshipers, Lord, in the fullest meaning of that word, in every way you want us to be worshipers. We ask that you would guide our time now, that your word would become alive and active, a sharp double-edged sword piercing down into the very center of our being. We pray that you would silence the enemy and all his distractions, and that today you would bless us by hearing your voice and responding with faith. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. As we look at our scriptures for today, first of all, there's some bad news. And really, if you love someone, you're willing to bring the bad news when it's necessary. Our first round of bad news is from our Old Testament reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, starting at verse 16. And again, we're talking about real worship today. Notice that there's some problems here in this reading. Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and rest, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. I set a watchman over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words. And as for my law, they have rejected it. What use to me is frankincense that comes from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleasing to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay before this people stumbling blocks against which they will stumble. Fathers and sons together, neighbor and friend shall perish. A harsh warning to us as we ask the question, why did they not worship? And then our gospel reading today is from the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 through 28. And here again we have a harsh message, this time directly from the mouth of Jesus himself. It reads, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So two harsh passages, two warnings to us, two times of inviting us to recognize that there is a distinction between those who are true worshipers and those who are just going through the acts. Those who have truly had a heart response to God and are now laying themselves out before God, who are not just laying prostrate before God and are not just worshiping in spirit, but are with everything they've got, body, soul, and spirit, worshiping God, where His Word is important to them. And they align their lives with it. This is the message and the hinge point of Romans chapter 12. Turn with me to our epistle reading, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And to see this in its context, you have 11 chapters of Paul saying, here's the good news. Here's the gospel. Yes, there are people who don't know God and they are perishing, but God sent His Son. While we were yet sinners, God demonstrated His love towards us. And 11 chapters of Paul explaining the good news of Jesus and the mercies of God. And then following this verse, there are all these invitations to therefore live this way with mercy towards others, with compassion towards others, being the hands and feet of Jesus in a hurting world, all sorts of invitations to be merciful people. But before we can enter into the second half of Romans, we need to apply the first half of Romans right here, this verse. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 reads this way. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship." I appeal to you. I beseech you. I urge you. Paul's using persuasive words. He's trying to pour out emotional energy into this conversation to cause these people to recognize the urgency of this moment. And I believe that the Scripture wants us to respond in the same way as this first audience should have. That we hear it from God as an urgent message. Paul saying, and through Paul, God saying to each of us, "I appeal to you." In other words, there's something that has to happen. There's a response that's necessary. And Paul's going to say, "I appeal to you on the basis of all these mercies of God that I've recounted, on the basis of all that God has done, because of all the good things that have happened in your life, because God has been merciful to you, rescuing you, dying on the cross for you, offering salvation to you, because God has done all that, therefore we ought to respond appropriately." And what's the only appropriate response to what God has done? That question brings different answers as you go around the world this morning and see different congregations gathering. Different people who claim they're worshiping, who claim to be followers. But we need to ask the tough questions, just like the Old Testament reading and the gospel reading. We need to ask the tough questions. Are they truly worshiping? Have they truly surrendered? Have they truly made Jesus Lord of their lives? Because if they have, there's only one appropriate response. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. That's Old Testament imagery. That's pulling back the image of the Old Testament tabernacle and then temple, where day after day after day after day, animals were brought forward. A goat or a sheep or a bull. Necks were slit. Blood was drained. Animals then cut up and then placed on an altar and burned up. That's the imagery here. God is telling us through the scripture. God is appealing to us. God is urging us to present ourselves as those kind of sacrifices to God. This is not one of those things where you go, oh, well, that's a nice idea. Maybe I'll decide if I want to do that or not. This is God saying, here's what's required of you. Because of all that God has done, because of His mercy to you, you now present yourself as a sacrifice. It's a radical request. And I'm wondering if you're up to it. I'm wondering if the Holy Spirit of God is activating in you the response of faith that you might say, God, I do recognize your mercies to me. I am aware that you've been so gracious to me. I'm aware that I deserve to die and go to hell forever because of my rebellion against you. I deserve to be eternally separated from you because I have day after day gone away from you rather than towards you. I'm aware that I've got no hope except you, God. And because of your mercy, you've poured grace upon me and you've chosen to invite me to be your forever child. You've chosen to wash me. Yet while I was still a sinner, you died for me. And have now become propitiation, the gift that takes my place and purchases for me all the goodness of God. Oh, the mercies of God should overwhelm us. In fact, I encourage you, if you're having a little trouble recounting enough mercies of God to elicit a response this morning, go back and spend the rest of your Sunday reading through Romans. Page after page, you're seeing the mercies of God delineated. Page after page, you're hearing how God has poured mercy out. And it's an invitation. Each one of those an invitation to respond to God. Not lackadaisically, not half-heartedly, but with everything we've got as we give ourselves and we present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. That and that alone is our appropriate, right response of worship. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. Let's think about that for a minute. Present your bodies. We are body, soul, and spirit. We are triune beings. And last Sunday I said we worship in spirit. And that's, I think everything I said last Sunday was right. But today I'm saying we worship in body. Because it's all. It's every aspect of it. Your body is to be presented to God as instruments of righteousness, Paul says in chapter 6 and in chapter 8. Here he says your body is presented as a living sacrifice. Your body matters. Your body is to be used for God, given to Him in an act of worship. There were people in the past who thought Christianity was just an internal thing. All that mattered was your faith and your thoughts. And the result was they became licentious. They thought, well, the body doesn't matter at all. Who really cares what the body does? The body is full of urges. Why not indulge them? And we even see today some Christians people who claim to be Christians saying, it doesn't matter what the body does. It doesn't matter if we have passions that we indulge in or not. It doesn't matter if we run this way or run that way. The body doesn't really matter. It's just what you think or what you believe or how you feel. Let me tell you, friends, that's not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity includes this verse where it says, present your body as a sacrifice to God. Why would God ask for our body? Because your body contains you, is you, body, soul, and spirit, and He wants all of you. He doesn't want just a portion of you. He doesn't want just an hour on Sunday or a little aspect of your thoughts midweek. He wants every part of your being, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions, your deeds. Your body matters. Your body is a gift from God. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your physical body matters. God made your body. And on the sixth day of creation, after making mankind, humankind, He looked at what He had done. He said, it is very good. That's why a few days later when Adam saw Eve, he says, whoa, man, is that good. Because God made bodies. Your body is given to you so that you can give it to God. Every day, every moment of every day, in everything you do, whether it's harvesting wheat in a few weeks, whether it's teaching kids next month, whether it's selling things at the store, whether it's helping people be properly insured, whether it's raising kids, wiping butts that need to be wiped, whatever you do with your body is to be done as an act of worship. Your body matters. So I invite you to receive your body as a gift from God. And say, God, thank you for my body, and I'll give it to you. Now, I know what's going on in some of your thoughts. You're thinking, this body? Would He want this body? This body that's starting to hurt and ache? This body that gets indigestion all the time? This body that's not, in any sense of imagination, what people call good looking, or the right dimensions, or the right strengths? This body? No, no, no. You don't want this. But let me tell you, when you say that, when you think that, you're repeating the devil's lies, not the words of your Creator. When Jesus made you, He says, I'm going to make you just the way I want you. I'm going to put the parts together. And I'm going to make you in my image. And I'm going to give you this body so that your body can do everything that I want your body to do. I'm going to give you the skills and the abilities and the strengths and the assets so that you can bring me, God saying, glory on earth. God needed your body on this planet, so that's why He crafted you. And now He gives you the privilege of taking that body and offering it to Him. Saying, thank you, God, for my body. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if it just was a one-time deal? We just go up there and we slay the animal and put it on the altar and it's burned up and it's once and done. But no, it's a living sacrifice. That means moment by moment, breath by breath, day by day, week after week, we continue to be these living sacrifices. It's an ongoing relationship with God. It's a continuation. As we give ourselves to God over and over and over and day after day after day, we are a sacrifice unto God every day we wake up. Maybe that would help you if you put something on the bathroom mirror saying, first of all, thank you, God, for my body. even though you're looking in the mirror when you say that. And then second, today I give my body to you as a living sacrifice. I'm going to live for you today. Not for my own desires, not for my own wants, not for the things that might pop up out of my fleshly urges or the worldly influences, but today I will be a living sacrifice to you. I'll give you a little glimpse of my own struggle. Last night I could not sleep because I committed to something, and it was just overwhelming me last night as I was thinking about that thing I'd done this week, then thinking about this verse that I was going to come and share with you this morning. I had the privilege this week on Thursday night and Friday night of having Zoom conference calls with some pastors, first in the country called Nauru, and then a country called Tuvalu. And both places are begging for us to come and provide training to their people, to their pastors, to their congregations. And I said yes. And I'm thinking, what have I said yes to? I can't imagine a harder place to get to. The length of the flight in the middle is 14 hours. But there's got to be two flights before that one and another flight after that one. And the place, you look it up on your maps, it's not pretty. It's one of the least visited, both of them are the second or third and fourth least visited places in the world. And I was really struggling last night. What have I said yes to? That's going to be too hard on my body. I can't do that. As I'm thinking that thought and trying to keep jumping back into my sermon preparation thought, it's like, Joel, do you see a connection here? No, I guess I hadn't, Lord. I was complaining about how hard this was going to be, and here I'm thinking about preaching on giving our bodies as living sacrifices. Am I willing to be inconvenienced? Am I willing to put up with grueling travel? In my flesh, I don't want to do it. But this is inviting me to lay down my wants, to lay down my comforts, to lay down my desires, and to consider my body a living sacrifice. So I invite you to pray for me as I properly respond to this opportunity in October. So it's a body response. It's a living body response. It's a holy body response. Holy and acceptable to God. Holy. Holy is that word that means set apart from the common. Taken out of the usual, mundane, everyday usage and set aside for special service. Some people have the good china that only comes out for special occasions and special guests. Otherwise, you eat on the corral or the plastic or the paper. But the good china is set aside for something special. That's kind of what the word holy means. Holy means set aside something special, set aside for God. We are called to have bodies that are offered to God, bodies that are holy and acceptable to God. In other words, we don't let our body get used in mundane, ordinary, worldly, carnal, fleshly, evil, disgusting things. We consider our bodies to be offered to God, therefore they're reserved for holy use, holy service. And the result of all this, the result of us recognizing God's mercy, the result of us responding to this appeal and this urging is that we present our bodies living, holy, and acceptable to God. And the result of that is that that is the right kind of response. That is spiritual worship. That is appropriate service. That is us saying, God, you've done so much, so I give myself in this way to you. I live from this moment forward, not onto myself, not for the world, not for the pleasures or ambitions of the people around me. I live for God. My body, my spirit, my soul, offered to God. And then watch what God does. As you look around the room, you see bodies made by God to do God things. You see bodies made by God, filled up with the Spirit of God, to accomplish the will of God. You see bodies that bring Jesus' mercy that they've received and spread it to the world around them. You see bodies that march around and just like Paul say to the people around them, I appeal to you because of the mercies of God that you too should present your bodies to God. This room is filled with people on assignment now, called into action now. Bodies called to stand up and say, yeah, I'm God's now. Every part of me, those crooked toes, to those creaking fingers, to the eyelids that don't quite lift up all the way anymore, to the crackling voice, every part of me is used now to bring God joy and expand His kingdom. You've got appointments this week to be God's agents, where you're urging people to join you in presenting yourselves completely to God. Let's pray. God, do what we cannot do. Rescue us from sin. Rescue us from the thoughts of the world. Rescue us from our own weaknesses. Pour your life into us by your Spirit. Make us to be your agents. You appeal to us, and we respond by saying, yes, Lord. We present ourselves to you. We give you our bodies as living sacrifices. We give you our bodies as holy and acceptable to you. We give you our body, our soul, our spirit, that that might be our appropriate response of worship. We pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.